Okay, here we go. Turn me up in the headphones.
Turn them up. Dial on.
Ho, my Dan Mullen is back with the Gators and other coaching changes is exactly what we're going to talk about first off. But before that, even, we want to tell you that this podcast is brought to you by Fantetti Legal for all your business legal needs and et cetera, et cetera. So, Steve.
What's up, man?
Okay, you want? Let's talk about what we just talked about. I just said it, Dan Mullen.
Yes, coaching.
New Florida hire. Yes. Let's for 1 second. I don't know if we can do this, but let's possibly try to put away our Florida and Tennessee biases here, and
if
see
we
if we can talk about this from an objective viewpoint. Well, at least much as we can.
Yeah, let's try.
All right, so Dan Mullen, obviously the safe hire for the Gators. I just keep hearing that word over and over. Safe.
Safe is better than safe, though. If you ask me,
I think so too. I mean. Obviously, we wanted Chip Kelly. That was the sexy hire. That was the offensive juggernaut that we wanted to. This fan base has been starved for offense for the past 9 years since Tim Tebow left. So we were really looking forward to some offense. And Dan Mullen might provide that. He presided over the Tim Tebow years, you know, up until Urban Meyer left. And the Chris Leak years. You want to talk about quarterback whisperer.
I mean,
Alex Smith. We're talking about Chris Leak. Yep. We're talking about Tim Tebow, obviously.
All trash quarterbacks that he made look good. Literally. No, seriously, though. It's true. Chris Leak's trash, but they won national title with him. And Tebow. Couldn't throw a ball to, you know.
Tebow can run, though. You got to give Tebow.
He can do more than run. He's a quality player. But I'm just saying, what I'm saying is that guy can coach flat out. If he coached those guys, imagine when he gets top recruits, what he's going to do to him.
Yeah.
He might turn Franks into a first rounder.
I don't know about a first rounder, but
I'm
he's
joking.
Got the tools.
Franks
yeah.
is going to bounce anyway.
I don't probably. He's probably going to transfer, especially if we get Matt Corral. And also, I don't know if you know this, he's going, we already made a run at Justin Fields, who
no
was a
way.
number one overall
I
QB
Ohio
recruit.
State was going to get him.
No, he already committed to Georgia. He committed to Georgia.
That's right. That's
in
right.
spite of them having Fromm and in spite of them having Easton, like two 5 stars, and then I have a third 5-star there. So
that's dumb by Georgia. You can over recruit, but that's not even over recruiting.
I'm surprised he committed there, but he hasn't signed anything yet. So Dan Mullen is making another run at the number one overall quarterback recruit. The only thing I don't want to happen is Matt Corral is a great recruit as well. That's our you know former 5-star. He's a 4-star QB recruit now, and I don't want him to leave because we're going after Justin Fields, and he's a great recruit, got a huge arm. So hope he stays. So Dan Mullen, good hire.
Great hire in my eyes.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but I do say that the upside of it is I would always be afraid with Chip Kelly that he would bolt to the NFL. He'd have two or three good years, bolt to the NFL. I do believe that Dan Mullen will stay for the long haul, maybe be there for 10 years, something like that.
I'll make it easy for you. Chip Kelly will never go back to the NFL ever again, just so you know that. So I can stamp
really?
That today. Oh, 100% he will.
Okay.
It's too fast for him. He doesn't have enough control, and his systems don't work there. And his systems wouldn't have worked at Florida. And like I said, I'm surprised he didn't go to Florida being a Nike guy, being Phil Knight's boy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he wouldn't take the UCLA job because that's an Under Armour program. He's so much loyal to Nike. But he did it. But he's not an SEC kind of guy. He can't really.
No.
He likes to fly under the radar. Doesn't like to do a lot of stuff. He kind of just wants to call plays and relax. The SEC football is life, man.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to live that much. He wants to be on the West Coast and hang out and do yoga and whatever else he does. And that's what
just,
they do.
Just picture that, everyone. Picture Chip Kelly in yoga pants right now.
I'm good.
Doing downward dog.
Yeah. But
no, I agree with you. He's got a lot of contacts on the West Coast.
He wants to be there.
Yeah. And he also, it written into the Gator contract, and I'm sure the Tennessee contract as well, is boost, like a certain amount of booster meetings you have to go to. Like,
yeah, he ain't
all
about
kinds
that
of. No, he's
man.
Not.
And more than that, Dan Mullen, he knows the SEC. He can recruit the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
He's recruited in many different regions of the SEC. And most important to me, at least, is that Dan Mullen knows exactly how to win in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
He's a top three or four. I would put him in top three or four coaches in the SEC when he was at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
He was one of the best ones.
He was. Okay, here's a little trivia for you. The inaugural college playoff rankings, Mississippi State was number one.
There you go.
The very first one. So,
yep.
Yeah, they were number one for a while. I even forgot about that until they hired him. I'm like, oh, that's right. Mississippi State was number one for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, when they had Dak.
Yeah, yeah, Dak Prescott. So that's another quarterback.
Yeah, so he knows how to – exactly, a guy who no one thought could do anything. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he's like one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL playing for Dallas.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's good. I mean, good for them. It's good when people can get coaches because Tennessee can't.
Well, maybe. What about Leach? Let's talk about Tennessee now.
I want them to get Leach.
I would love Leach. Leach is hilarious.
Apparently, they were getting Gruden. I like staked my like life's work on that, and I clearly didn't follow through. Although it isn't closed yet, but you know, it's funny because I think they could get Leach. The biggest savage out of this is Gundy. Gundy got almost $1 million raise just today, using the Tennessee job against Oklahoma State.
Oh yeah, he's not stupid.
Oklahoma State said they weren't going to negotiate with him. They gave him almost like $675,000 raise. I'd take it. But
I would have loved him, Gundy. I think both of them are good. Gundy or Leach are big.
I would love Gundy, man.
Just for the sound bites. They're almost like Spurrier like with their sound bites. I know. You know, like Gundy with the mullet. You know,
he would have fit right in the SEC country.
Oh yeah,
bro.
He would have. He would have.
God, he would have fit in, especially but Tennessee.
I mean, he's an alum there, so
yeah. You know, no, he wasn't going to leave. And yeah, he's two Lions. I mean, I thought he was close. I mean, he had a $3 million raise a year, and he didn't take it. It's surprising. Something probably brought him back home. And I know he's an alumni and all that, and he's got family there, but. Tennessee is just fumbling it, but today they picked up the ball.
Yeah, they did
in a big way, and they got Phil Fulmer to now be the AD to help with the coaching search. And it's funny because there's a conspiracy behind this.
Oh, is there a conspiracy? Are you sure?
I'm gonna tell you what it is. And it's funny because the reason why there is a conspiracy here and people aren't seeing it, it's
that's what you're here for, though. That's what you're here for.
I'm just here to make sure that people know.
Okay,
because Tennessee knew all along they weren't going to get Gruden.
Oh,
they knew
a smokescreen,
huge smokescreen. They held out on Schiano. They could have given it to him, but they didn't. They could have just told the fans relax, okay, like Aaron Rodgers does. But they knew who's their guy all along. Phil Fulmer's their guy,
right?
Not as the AD. He's calling back to coach.
What?
They're not going to be able to find anybody. The recruiting periods are upon us, and they're going to close fast.
Wow.
And they're going to have Phil Fulmer not only do their recruiting, he's going to end up coaching this team.
Is he going to be the AD and the coach, the first AD slash coach in the country?
No, he's not Barry Alvarez, but he's close. But they're going to have to find somebody else to fill in. Peyton Manning's going to fill in as the AD.
Wow.
And Phil Fulmer's going to coach this football team until they can find a coach. Okay. 1-2 years. That's what I've
been
hearing.
I like it.
From my sources. You know where these sources are? Michael Flynn gave me these sources. Yeah. These are deep in the Kremlin, bro. So I don't know how they're going to turn out because he's pled guilty today.
I say, was this part of his plea deal? Was he had to reveal his sources?
All the Russian sources came out, and this was in the mix. So I picked them up. And I'm running with him.
Well, I believe this one because the last one you said with the groomers, you said Gruden.
Yes.
You said these aren't even in the Kremlin. You said these are just out there. So no, I didn't. Yeah, I was right to not believe those sources. These
I appreciate
are even in the Kremlin.
That. These are
now
credible.
I believe it.
These are credible.
Credible sources.
Yeah, credible. Because there's indictments going on. Peyton Manning's got to take over the AD and Fulmer be the new coach. We'll see. That's what I think this is all about. But in all seriousness, Mike Leach gets this job. He should take it. He'd be a fool not to because in the SEC, the recruits that he'll get, this is what he's wanted because he's a high-powered offense guy.
Yeah.
And he loves to throw the ball around. The SEC is mostly a predominant run-oriented system for all the schools because you get big running backs at the SEC, but the spread is taken over. And you've seen it with Auburn and Jared Stidham. Mm-hmm. And you spread it out and you hand the ball off to the running backs. You need both. So Leach's system would fit well here right now.
I think so,
for
too.
The recruits they're getting. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So tell me more about Leach. Like, what's his background? Like, where do you know where he came from? Where he graduated?
Leach was a lawyer before he was even a football coach.
Really?
He went to law school.
Didn't know that.
Didn't want to practice law very long. And started coaching high school and then got in as assistants at some colleges. And his big job that he got was at Texas Tech.
Okay.
And he coached there and he coached multiple quarterbacks that set records in the NCAA, like Graham Harrell, Cliff Kingsbury, who's now the coach of Texas Tech. So he's coached multiple players that were able to get to the NFL. He even picked up Wes Welker, gave him a chance. Wes Welker, by the way, no school offered him a scholarship except for Mike Leach.
Wow.
So this guy, he's got the eye. He can get quarterbacks to do what you want them to do. Guess who else he recruited?
Who?
Baker Mayfield.
Man, that's
Baker,
right. Yeah,
there.
I forgot he was there before.
Cliff Kingsbury ended up stepping in and taking over for Baker when Baker was coming there. But so he knows how to recruit, and he can turn quarterbacks into really good players, as he's done with Luke Falk at Washington State, where he now took that job over after leaving Texas Tech. So, you know, he's been around the game. He's seen it all. He can call an offense. For Tennessee, this is good because quarterback play, now that Dobbs is gone, I think Garen Tunnell's got a lot of upside. But with Leach, he can make Garantano into a top, you know, five quarterback in the NCAA. So this is good if they get him. He'll do a lot more. Unless Phil Fulmer takes the job, as my sources have exactly. told me, is very possible. But let's just well, look at the reality.
For the sake of entertainment value yeah. in the SEC, I hope he takes the job.
Oh, the quotes will be crazy. That's your Spurrier quote level. Yeah. He's going to give me more than Gundy would.
Oh, and he's going to get more exposure, yeah. too, being in the SEC. But I also want to – let's talk a little bit about shout out to our FSU people out there. We'll set aside the FSU hate for a little bit,
I don't know if you were going to get to that. We got to talk
about this. Of course.
Got to
talk about Jimbo Fisher leaving for, I don't know about greener pastures, but definitely
hotter ones.
Greener as in money, like more money. So
he's getting paid more. Interesting than FSU.
Yeah, he's the second highest paid college coach now next to Nick Saban.
I like this.
He's, I think, now I should bring it up. It's like $80 million.
I heard Gruden wanted 15 a year, and that's why Tennessee said no.
That would, he would, dude. Yeah. Right now, I think
he loves his money like I do.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin, or not Lane Kiffin. Alabama's coach, Nick Saban, is making, I think, $11 million a year. He
Harbaugh's making nine or something like that, right around there. He's
Second, I think, is Dabo Sweeney is second.
Oh, yeah,
but Harbaugh's up there.
He just got a raise after winning the
right.
Title.
Exactly. He just got a raise in May.
Yeah. So Harbaugh's in the top three or top five.
Yeah. So that. Dude, I love Gruden, man. I don't blame him. Why not, man? Why not? He doesn't want to come back anyway. He enjoys his cushy job. Why not see if he can get $15 million a year?
I don't blame him, yeah. Why not? Yeah, press it. And if you get like, damn, they're actually going to give this to me? All right, coach. He's getting the Corona money, the Hooters money, ESPN, Gruden's quarterback camp. He gets to write his own check, man. But I'll tell you this. I wouldn't leave Florida State. I'm surprised. Something had to be really bad.
Well,
to me, that's a top three job in the country every year.
Top three. It's top 10 for sure.
It's top three. If you're going to coach, I want to coach either Florida State. I want Texas. I mean, the next one, I'd probably say Alabama or the Gators, if you want to round out four. To me, those are the best jobs in the country. Notre Dame at five, just because of the prestige and the alumni base. But Florida State, man, you got the NFL draft picks that come out of there every year. The recruits want to go there and play. Who takes this job is what I want to know, since he's gone to A&M.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The candidates are – so many candidates are already out of the running or said they're not interested in taking other jobs. And so I've heard Sumlin.
Okay, good. I was going to tell you who I could
go. Wouldn't that be funny?
I would love that, by the way. I want Tennessee to get Sumlin. I wish they would.
God.
I think he's
hilarious.
An amazing coach. I love Kevin Sumlin.
Charlie Strong.
Not going to happen.
I don't think
he
so either.
He ain't leaving. Ready for this? Scott Frost still available, though. He's going to probably take Nebraska.
No, he's going to Nebraska. School.
But it'd be interesting, because guess who else is available in the Sunshine State who would just light this up?
Oh, Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, my boy. I'm telling you, Florida State. Get him right now.
Please do.
Again, get him.
For the entertainment value. Oh, my God. If you think I hate Florida State now, I will hate them even more.
You're having a problem with quarterbacks and offense this year, which you had, barring the injuries that Florida State had. This guy will turn. You've seen what he did at Alabama. I'm telling you, man. He is ready to go, and he's listening to offers, believe it or not. He is. I mean, he's ready to go, and I think that is – honestly, he's the best coach available from a perspective that's available, from being able to – you don't have to hire an offensive coordinator. He can do both. Mm-hmm. Every other coach out there, he probably can't do both. Scott Frost might be an exception, but I don't think he's ready to do it at a level like that.
The thing about Scott Frost is that he's unproven. Right now, he's done it at UCF.
That's what I mean. It's easy to call plays at UCF.
He's young. I mean, he's like the hot prospect coach. But, yeah, I mean, Lane Kiffin's done it on a high level, you know, for many years.
And that's why I think he's the best coach available for that reason. He can do both. He can mold your quarterbacks. Dan Mullen would have been, but he already took a job. So that's why I say Lane Kiffin's the best available to do both.
I mean, you know, my FSU hater side wants him to pick a really bad coach. But the thing is, man, you know, right now Florida fell off. You know, we haven't won. They've beaten us 5 years in a row, and it's kind of frustrating. But before that, we beat them like 4 years in a row. And it's not even fun. Like every year is a foregone conclusion. We're gonna whoop FSU.
Yeah.
It wasn't even fun because like the FSU, like, I want us both to be good again.
Yeah, where every year you don't know who it's going to be.
Exactly.
And that's what I like.
The same thing with Tennessee. Way. You know, Florida and Tennessee, Florida's already always had the upper hand. Tennessee never really gave them, except for maybe 1999, but other than that.
And last year.
Well, last year.
And it should have been this year, so if they played prevent.
One out of 14 years. Not bad.
Okay. Anyway. I can't say nothing because we did get whipped all the time. But regardless of that.
So any other coaching changes? I'll be very curious to see.
I think Herm Edwards is going to take Arizona State. I heard it's not done yet, not locked in.
I heard it's pretty much done.
I heard in principle they've got it. So I think he's, you know, let's talk about sound bites. They're not going to be in the SEC, but you're going to get them in college football.
That's why you play the game.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for him to coach. Tennessee, I'm surprised, didn't show interest in him.
Yeah, why not?
I think it was too late. I think they were still dealing with Schiano and Gundy while Arizona State already was courting, for lack of a better term, Herm Edwards. And I think Herm wanted to be out there. I think he wanted to be in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he there's an advanced, strategic advantage. I don't even know if he's from that area. I don't think he is. I think he was an East Coast guy.
I'm not sure either. But
I know he played for the Eagles and stuff when he's in the NFL. But I do know that, you know, that's interesting to see that once that job's taken, the high-quality jobs left. I mean, Nebraska, Florida State, and Tennessee are really the only three that need to be filled to me.
And Nebraska, I think, is a foregone conclusion. I'm pretty sure Scott Frost is going to
take
that job.
They want a guy who knows, you know, who the fans love. He'll be able to recruit the crap out of the state because of his notoriety and all the people that will be telling him. You know, you might have just been born when Scott Frost graduated from Nebraska, but all the parents and the people will tell you about him, and they're going to send their kids there. So he can get the top recruits out of the state. You know, Nebraska's not known for having that great of talent in state, but people enough know that he's respected. And the fact that he's gotten to know the Florida area, he can pluck recruits out of Florida and go to Nebraska if he can.
Yeah, he's established some,
so we'll see,
connections here. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to some Heisman Trophy candidates.
This.
All right. So you're telling me a little bit of a hot take before we got on the mic here about Baker Mayfield. I mean, I still think it's a foregone conclusion that Baker Mayfield is going to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
Should be.
But you have some of these, you know, voters who think that the Heisman also, you should be like moral and not be, you know, I don't know, grabbing your junk and looking at the Kansas
side.
There's
a lot of Heisman winners who've committed a lot of crimes.
Yeah.
Done a lot of bad things. I'm not going to say who they are, what they've done, but you can use your imagination. Some of them won in the 60s and did some things.
Some of them might be the quarterback of the Buccaneers.
I don't know. Maybe you're right.
It's a legend.
It's all a legend.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is the question you have to ask. If you don't vote for Baker Mayfield, then who is it? Who's the clear front runner besides him?
Love?
There isn't one. I wouldn't feel confident.
You're a Bryce Love hater, but he had 125 yards last week versus Notre Dame.
So.
Let's talk about
Lamar Jackson. Looks good though.
Lamar Jackson, you said?
His stats look good.
Oh, his stats look great.
But is he the most outstanding player in football this year?
Let's talk about stats real quick, okay?
Go ahead.
Good Lord. Baker Mayfield, 37 passing TDs, over 4,000 yards passing in college, up to five interceptions. He's got 245 yards rushing and 5 TDs rushing. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson. 25 TDs, $3,500 yards passing.
That's what they're paying him every week.
But, I mean, this isn't surprising. Rushing, he's got almost 1,500 yards rushing and 17 rushing TDs. So,
this is perfect. Stop there because this is going to answer all your questions. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Tell me Baker's stats again this year.
Baker's got 37 passing TDs in college, man. That's insane.
Yep.
He hasn't even played the conference championship game yet.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. I'm trying to compare, because I'm looking at the stats of Lamar Jackson from last year, and what did he do? He won the Heisman.
Yeah.
So do his numbers compare to Baker Mayfield?
I think they were better, if I'm not mistaken.
I have them right in front of me. How many yards has Baker thrown for?
4,097.
Okay. Lamar Jackson threw for 3,543.
Surprising. Okay, but TDs.
How many passing touchdowns?
37.
30 for Lamar Jackson
last
year. Yep.
I guess he got such a hot start. I just assumed.
Yep. How many rushing touchdowns?
Well, here's where he's got him, though.
This is where Lamar Jackson's got him. But how many has Baker got?
5.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson had 21.
There you go.
So
that's like a Tim Tebow-ish. So.
And he ran for over 1,000 yards, which Baker is not.
Ooh, that's
so
crazy, man.
That's what tilts the scales. So that's what you have to really come down to is if you're going to cut somebody out and you're going to compare it, if these winners are doing it under really good competition. If you got Baker Mayfield beat Ohio State, they lost to Iowa State. They beat TCU. They beat some quality teams. Lamar Jackson hasn't done that this year. I mean, they've lost to Clemson. They've lost to Kentucky, Houston, Louisiana State. They've lost the last
that's
3
the
in
difference
a row.
Right there.
And that's the difference. And Baker Mayfield's played big in every single game he's played in. And he's consistent. You're consistently seeing touchdowns. He quarterbacks that offense in a way that I don't think anybody else in the NCAA could. And so if that's your leader, that's the most outstanding player in college football, which it is. I mean, you got to give him the Heisman. Nobody else has done that. Now, they have, I believe, 2 losses.
Who?
Oklahoma State's got 1 loss, I believe.
Oklahoma State or Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, excuse me. Sorry, only
has 1. Yeah, they have 1 loss.
They have 1 loss. They lost to Iowa State. That's
it. That's the only loss.
So, Bryce Love, I believe, they have 2 losses, Stanford?
3 I'm
losses.
Gonna say.
And his stats aren't really anything to where the Heisman running backs that have won. So, to me, if you just do that simple math, if you know it's not really math, it is if you look at the numbers don't lie, you got to give him the Heisman. Regardless of what people are saying why he won't win is because he told the Kansas coaches to grab his junk or because he...
What was the latest thing?
He threw allegedly a although there is tape, threw a football. The ball may have come out of his hands. Allegedly, he threw a ball at the head of a TCU player during warmups, whether it was on purpose or not. I think it was accidental, if you ask
TCU
me.
TCU player?
Correct. When they played TCU earlier this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, during warmups. So the tape just came out. So they're saying, look, these antics, a DUI in the past, you know, is this the guy we want to represent the Heisman, given the fact that Manziel won it and it's looking like it had a bad name? That stuff doesn't matter because it's like the Hall of Fame. You have to just look at what the football player does.
Yeah, who is the most outstanding player? That's it.
Right.
Not who's a choir boy, you know.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. They're young college kids.
Yeah.
If it was worse mistakes, I'd be a little bit more worried. But, I mean, a lot of these things are passionate-driven in the game.
I think in that case, it would kind of take care of itself because if he murdered somebody, he wouldn't be playing college football anymore, so he wouldn't be in the running anymore.
Right, but I'm saying is past winners who've done something, they don't take their Heisman away for that.
No.
You keep your Heisman, with the exception of Reggie Bush. I mean, everybody else has kept their Heisman.
O.J. Simpson actually sold his Heisman.
Well, he had to. He didn't sell. The court made it sell. Asset seizure.
The NCAA didn't take it away. The state took it away.
That's my point. Yeah. That's exactly right, which means the Heisman Trust is not going to. So if that's the standards that you have, then you have to give it to the best player. And Baker's not a bad person in that regard. I don't know him personally, but from what I see, I just like his passion. And I think he lets it get the better of him sometimes. He's not controlling it. Now, will that hurt him in the NFL? That's up to scouts to decide if he can play in the NFL or not. That is irrelevant right now. What he can do in the NFL has nothing bearing on what he does with the Heisman.
And people compare him to Johnny Manziel. But I think the big difference is, and what I hope is a big difference, is I liked Johnny Manziel's swagger and he was good for college football and that he talked trash and all that good stuff. Baker Mayfield, I hope, is not like Manziel in that he doesn't have the substance abuse problems. And that's what killed Manziel in the NFL.
Well, what also killed Manziel in the NFL is that Manziel's an ad-libber. If you watch Baker Mayfield, he actually goes through his reads, progressions. He throws a better ball. He's more accurate.
Yeah.
Manziel knew he couldn't last in the NFL, which is, I think, why Manziel turned to substances. But I think Baker actually has the skills. He just lacks the height.
Well, how do they size? I know Manziel was small.
He's the same size as Baker. I think Baker's 15, 20 pounds on
him. Okay, but I say pounds. Height, they're the same. 6'1", are they?
Yeah, 6 foot maybe even.
Yeah.
I don't think they're 6'1". I know Manziel's 6'1".
But Manziel was drafted in the first round all the same, even with the height concerns, because everyone always points to Drew Brees. You know, Drew Brees, he's listed at 5'11". He's probably more like 5'10", 5'9".
But it's hype. You can look at it two different ways because Manziel – Mayfield never had a Mike Evans.
Yeah, that's
true. And Manziel did. Imagine that, too, what the numbers would look like and what's that. So you got to take all that into consideration if you want. At the end of the day, is what have you done for me lately this year? Baker Mayfield's a top college player, which I called from week 1 of this podcast, by the way.
Did you waver for a second? I thought you wavered. Who'd you go to for a second?
I gave Saquon for one
Saquon,
week.
Saquon, okay.
I said he did.
Okay.
I said right now. But they adjust. It doesn't mean Baker getting a second place vote for me wouldn't have won, but I picked him to win it is all I said.
Yeah. So that's Heisman Watch. Yeah. And by the way, ESPN has the top three or four, however they're going to invite to New York, as Baker Mayfield number 1, Bryce Love number 2, Lamar Jackson number 3, and Rashad Penny.
But that's not finalized, right?
No, it's not. It's not finalized. No, I'm saying as of right now, in their experts poll.
I'm glad you said that. I think 3 or 4 of those are safe. Anybody you think sneaks in? Do you think Saquon sneaks in, who's not even really in the top 4?
I don't think you could say he's sneaking, though, because he was the front runner for most of the year. He deserves it. But
so who's your 4? Who goes? Who gets that ticket to the Big Apple right now? I'll tell you mine if you're not ready to go yet.
What about Jonathan Taylor? Because they have an outside shot. If they go undefeated.
That's what I'm asking
you. Yeah. I would say Jonathan Taylor.
Okay. I would not say him.
No, who would you say?
Listen, Jonathan Taylor goes. Listen, he goes if he runs for 250 and 3 touchdowns in this game against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have an undefeated team with a trash schedule, which is the only reason why they're in the top 4. And he's got good numbers.
1,800 yards rushing, 13 rushing TDs.
Those aren't gaudy to me.
No, they're not gaudy.
And so if you compare that to Saquon's numbers, Saquon's numbers are going to be better.
Yeah, Saquon.
And Saquon scored in 3 different ways this year.
Yep.
So he's more diverse. That makes him a more outstanding college football
player. Jonathan Taylor being on an undefeated team, that obviously carries a lot of weight.
I would give Rashad Penny the nod before Jonathan Taylor. But
yeah, he's got 19 TDs and over 2,000 yards rushing.
But get this, everybody. Get ready for only 3 invites. You're going to get Baker, Bryce, and Lamar. That's it.
I agree.
That's what I would do if I was the committee.
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
Because to not invite Penny and invite Taylor when Taylor's numbers aren't better than Penny, but Penny plays in a weaker conference and a conference with not as much notoriety, or a school for that matter. It's not a Power Five.
Mm-hmm.
That's just wrong. And I think they're going to stick with just three. And that's what I would do. That's what, if that the Heisman Trust should do that, I think that would be a good look for them. But we'll see what happens. But that's
yeah.
what I would do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the upcoming week, which is, we're recording this on a Friday.
Yes.
If you're listening to this in the future. Mm-hmm. So let's look at some of these games that are coming up. This is conference championship weekend.
Yes. The game this weekend.
Yeah. The game tonight, which is, Stanford and USC. I mean, do you have any, you know, any
they're playing
opinions
for,
or?
Yeah. Here's my opinion. They're playing for a bowl game. They're mm-hmm. not going to get in the top four. So what are you playing for? Pac-12 supremacy is great. You want to play to get a better bowl game, get some money for your school. I think USC wins this game by 10 points.
Okay.
And spread doesn't matter. I'm just picking the winner.
you had to sneak that in there.
Had to sneak that in there.
Well, USC is favored by 4 points. Not that you care.
Not that I care at all.
Okay.
But I think USC wins by 10. But I think it's going to be a close game.
Why don't you pick a score right now? Let's do it. Let's do a score for this game. Let's do pick three games. We'll pick a score.
Absolutely.
And we'll come back to it and see who's closer.
Okay. So because it's a football game, 10 points, I'm going to say 27-17 USC.
Okay. I'm going to say Stanford wins 21-17.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, Stanford.
Spread.
Exact spread. Yeah. No, well, USC is favored, so I'm picking Stanford to win outright. So it's going against the spread. I'm picking the underdog.
Yeah.
All right, what else is interesting here? Oh, big one for me. I'm definitely going to be on my couch watching this one. TCU at Oklahoma.
Oh, absolutely. Obviously,
got to watch Baker Mayfield in one of his last appearances in a college football game.
And their season's on the line.
Yeah.
They will be in the Final Four if they win this game.
Absolutely.
No one's going to bump them. No one's going to jump them. If they're a one-loss team, they're going to be in.
Yep.
That's it. So that's what matters for this. And that's a trap game.
I don't know if it's a trap. TCU's a number 11 in the nation. They're a really good team.
But when you play somebody already and you lose and you got to play them again and Georgia, Auburn are facing the same thing, you got to be careful.
Yeah, you're right. It's really hard to beat the same team, a good team, twice
in
1 year.
Exactly. And I don't mean to jump games, but I think Georgia can beat Auburn. And I think that's going to happen.
Oh, man. Good thing Law's not here. By the way, shout out to Law. He's feeling under the weather. We're taking over for tonight.
All y'all feel better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think so too. Because, yeah, they beat him once before. It was a.
Now,
they beat him soundly.
Yes. I want Auburn to win. I want them to win. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they're going to.
I think
Kerryon Johnson's hurt. He's not himself. The running game's going to be off.
That's huge.
Law talked to me about this too. He thinks Stidham's confidence will be off when he doesn't have that running game. When he has the running game and it's going well, you watch him. He doesn't have a care in the world.
Yeah.
But earlier in the year, the running game wasn't as established and he wasn't the same quarterback that he is now. Of course, he got better in a new offense. And I said he was going to end up, you know, relaxing in it. But in a game like this with the pressure on the SEC championship game, if your confidence isn't there and you're not confident in your running game, and then you force Auburn to be a one-dimensional team and just force you to throw against Georgia, it's going to be more difficult to win the way they did again. And I think Georgia wins this game. I think Kirby Smart, being the defensive genius that he is, I think he maps this one out, and I think he gets Georgia the victory.
Now, do you think that Kerryon Johnson plays? Because right now he's day-to-day. He has a shoulder injury, which is not like a leg injury, so you could play through it.
Right.
Do you think he plays?
Oh, I do I think he plays? I think he does play. I think
Me too.
He tries.
You have to. Biggest game of your career, possibly.
I think three, maybe four carries, and you're going to tell if he can play the whole game or not. That's it. That's what's going to tell you. So I think why would you not try? It'll be his last college game because he's going to declare.
Absolutely.
I think he can come back one more year, but he's got to go. He's had too good of a year, and the injuries, as you can see, it'll stall him for the rest of the
year. Especially for running backs. You got to strike while the iron's hot.
Exactly. You're exactly right. So I think there's no reason for him not to try. He's going to play. It's not like a JT Barrett situation where they might hold him out because you might have to play two more games if you win.
If they get in. Exactly.
But the problem is this. I mean, I don't want to jump too far because now we're going to ratings versus games, but I think they connect too well, so we have to talk about it. Is, you know, when you look at the rankings, you have Ohio State at 8 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are they too far down? Like, what's going to have to happen? Auburn's going to have to lose.
Yep.
Wisconsin's going to have to lose. Oklahoma's going to have to lose. The problem is Alabama moves in. You have a one-loss Georgia. Miami, I don't think they're going to beat Clemson. They're going to have two losses.
Well, yeah, let's talk about foregone conclusion.
Right.
Obviously, winner of SEC championship game is in. Georgia,
ACC
Auburn.
Championship game, though, are they in?
Yes, I think absolutely. Whoever wins
A one-loss Miami would get in.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I think people are forgetting that Miami was undefeated the entire year. Yep. They stumbled at the end of the year, which is way worse than stumbling at the beginning of the year.
Yep. Ask Oklahoma.
Yep, exactly.
If they lost late, they wouldn't be in the top four right now. Nope. They lost to Iowa State like week four or five.
Yep, and that's why they're so strong right now. Yep. So I definitely think Miami gets in if they beat – I mean, Clemson's the number one team in the nation. If you beat the number one team in the nation, I don't care if you have one loss. You're in, you know?
Now, if Wisconsin's going to lose, they'll be guaranteed to get in. But I don't think – I mean, if Wisconsin loses, can Ohio State climb?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So
that's the big issue right now.
Yeah, can – so obviously Ohio State would be out. Who would be the third then?
Alabama's going to get in. If one of the – if any of the top four teams lose, no. Alabama's getting in.
You could put a one-loss Alabama who didn't make the conference championship game over an undefeated Wisconsin who just beat Ohio State?
Absolutely, because when you play the SEC schedule and you beat teams that Auburn lost to – and they're in,
mm-hmm.
you got to jump Wisconsin. They've played nobody. The best quality team they beat was Michigan.
They're beating Ohio State in this scenario.
True. A two-loss Ohio State team
now. Okay, let's think about this. Alabama. Who's Alabama play this year? They play no one.
LSU, Ole Miss, Texas
LSU's,
A&M.
LSU's decent. That's probably their best win.
Okay, Auburn lost to LSU.
Right. Okay. But I'm saying, okay, I'm giving you that one. That's their best win. Okay. The rest of the SEC schedule that they played just so happened this year to be down. They played Florida State in their opening game, which is supposed to be
a
huge non-conference game.
Their quarterback got hurt, though.
Unfortunately, Florida State is way down this year, so that is not a quality win.
At that game, they weren't way down. It doesn't matter. But Francois got hurt in that game.
Exactly.
But he got hurt at the end. Alabama already had that game in hand.
It doesn't matter, though.
So to me, they beat a quality FSU team at the start of the year.
But you look at the full body of work right now, and that is not a quality win right now. So Florida State's not a quality win.
At the time they beat them, that was a quality win.
No, you don't just
like, trash now. Yeah.
You just ignore that. No, you see – Florida State's not a good team. You've seen their body of work. They're not a good team, so they beat them.
No, you're missing the point.
No.
When Alabama played them, they played Florida State when they had their best quarterback available.
Yeah.
That's why it's a quality win. You're talking about a Florida State when DeAndre Francois wasn't quarterbacking them.
I disagree.
Of course.
You're saying the committee's going to look at this. So say Florida State went 0-10 or 0-11 or whatever. They missed a game.
Sure.
Okay. They went 0-11, but they were ranked high in the beginning.
Yep.
They would look at that as a quality win.
They would, and I'm also gonna tell you why they would. If you look at who the committee is comprised of, they've got majority of them are southern-leaning ties to the South, SEC conference, and to the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be more biased towards these southern teams than anybody else.
Okay.
That's why I think Alabama gets the nod. Why else? It's just good for ratings. They want Nick Saban in there. They want Alabama in there. It's a draw.
It's better than Wisconsin. I agree with that.
You don't want somebody walking in there and losing by 40 and no one's watching the game the rest of the time. It's bad for TV.
Yeah.
But Alabama playing Clemson or playing Oklahoma, that's going to be a tight game down the stretch.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want Wisconsin playing Alabama. You don't want them in there. That's why they jump it.
Yeah.
That's why I think they get in.
Let me run down Alabama's schedule real quick.
Go ahead.
Just to make my point here. Florida State, this is my opinion.
Yeah.
Not a quality win. Florida State, they're under 500 right
now.
Colorado State, not a good team. Ole Miss, not a good team. Arkansas, not a good team. LSU, I'll give you that one. They came back at the end of the year. Mercer, Fresno State, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, which decent. That's an average one. Tennessee, we know the story on that one. And Mississippi. Mississippi State's not a bad
they're good.
When
they had Fitzgerald, they were quality.
Yeah, they're pretty good. And then they lost to Auburn. So I don't think... I mean, I think your argument that Wisconsin didn't play anybody, I think I agree Alabama's strength of schedule more difficult than Wisconsin, but Alabama's strength of schedule is nothing to write home about. It's not great.
But if you compare Alabama's schedule to Wisconsin, you do agree Alabama's
yes,
got a tougher schedule.
I agree. But
I
want to
make sure I would fall in my chair if you said no.
Yeah, but it's not like huge. It's not like
no, it's huge.
No, it's closer than you think.
When you got to play Northwestern 1 week and then Alabama's playing Mississippi State or LSU, anybody else, it's just harder competition every week. You can't. To me, there's a big drop off.
In this scenario, though, they beat Ohio State. That's what I'm thinking. So right now, yes, I agree, it's a big drop off.
If they beat Ohio State,
then I'm saying it's closer. The strength of schedule. Anyway, we've spent a lot of time arguing over that one.
So, but just finally, Wisconsin wins, they're in for you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They're undefeated. They beat Ohio State. Okay, they're in.
Good. They're in. Oklahoma loses, they're out.
Yep.
Auburn loses, they're out. Clemson loses, any chance they can stay in?
See, that's the thing. Will they be a two-loss team?
Correct.
I don't think so.
Oklahoma.
I don't think.
Or not Oklahoma. So would be if they stay. If they stayed in, Auburn would stay, and they'd already have two losses they stayed in.
Some people are saying, Some people are saying Ohio State as a two-loss team
right.
could get in as well. But Clemson, the problem is the immediacy. Like, they just lost, and how you put a team in that just lost to Miami.
Here's the thing. Alabama is glad they're not playing the SEC championship game for this reason. It's actually a tougher game this year because they're not playing the Gators, who've been trashed the past couple of years, who end up getting in by default, no offense. But
well, you're trashing your own team, so I'm okay with that.
It's true, though, I am. But at the end of the day, they can just sit and wait and let everybody else bury themselves, because if Auburn loses and Clemson loses, Miami and Georgia can't, you know, who could climb in, let's say. Or if Georgia or Miami lose, they can't climb Alabama. So they're going to climb in. The question is, someone's going to lose, and these top four teams will lose. Who's it going to be? If I had to guess, I'm going to say Wisconsin goes down. And then I'm going to say Auburn goes down.
You think Wisconsin loses to Ohio State?
I do. I think Wisconsin loses, and I think Auburn loses.
Okay, so give me your four then. In that scenario, what are your four?
So that scenario, I'll keep Clemson where they are.
Okay. Clemson beats Miami, okay.
Yep. And then I'm going to put, at number two, I'm going to put Oklahoma.
Okay.
At number three, I'm going to put Alabama. And then number four, Ohio State.
What about Auburn or Georgia?
Well, I've got Georgia beating Auburn, but I don't think that they're better than Ohio State.
Really?
That's my committee.
Bro,
I don't think they're going to
You call yourself an SEC, like...
Oh, yeah. Apologist, for sure.
You're an SEC apologist, and you're saying the winner of the SEC championship game does not get in?
Correct. Too many losses.
Disagree with that. All right. Yeah. So
I think you're right, by the way. The committee won't do that. Because of their southern ties I talked about.
Yeah.
But that's my Final Four that I want. Right. That's my dream scenario.
Okay, sorry.
What's going to happen? Correct. The winner of the SEC championship game is going to be in the Final Four in some way.
Okay.
But the question is, do they skip Alabama and keep Alabama out? How many SEC teams do they put in?
Right.
Because if Wisconsin wins, Oklahoma wins, Clemson wins, but Auburn loses, does Georgia jump Alabama again just because they won the SEC championship game? Or are they going to put Alabama in? Because Alabama's already ranked ahead of them.
Yeah.
That's the question. You're going to put a team that's ranked ahead in with one loss?
Yeah. Well, so my Final Four, Clemson, I think, beats Miami, number one overall.
Interesting.
I'm going to say Auburn takes it to Georgia. I think Auburn wins. They're going to be number two. Oklahoma beats TCU, number three, and Wisconsin beats Ohio State for number four. I mean, that's chalk. That's basically exactly what the rankings are right now, but there's a reason why they're ranked that way. It's because that's the strength of the teams going from one to four.
True.
So that's my prediction. All right, let's do some scores for a couple of these games. All right, let's do Georgia-Auburn. Obviously, that one's going to be a fun one. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Both teams are going to kind of be and there's my girlfriend calling me during the podcast. but I think this is gonna be a low scoring game because both teams are gonna be conservative. They're gonna start out the night feeling each other out, doing a lot of running the ball. So I think it's gonna be a low scoring game. I'm gonna say it's gonna be, let's say, 17-10. And I'm gonna say, like I said before, Auburn takes it 17-10.
Yeah. All right.
What do you think? What's the score?
For the Auburn-Georgia game?
Yeah, and the line is, not that you care, but for our listeners, Auburn is favored by 1 point, so this is a pretty even game.
I've got Georgia win this game. You ready?
I'm ready.
35-17.
Woo, you think it's a high-scoring game. You think Georgia takes it to them. Well,
I do.
I can see that, because I can see Sony Michel and Nick Chubb in one of their final games for Georgia just running all over them, and Georgia or Auburn just kind of, you know, Johnson's out.
Well, that's why I tell you, I think time of possession, this is what wins this game. If Georgia can control the ball, keep Auburn off the field, whose running backs are not going to be healthy, I think you're going to have Auburn having more three and outs than they've had most of the year in this game. And then I think with Georgia grinding the clock down, they're going to be able to keep Auburn off the field. They're going to put more points up. They're going to grind down on Auburn's defense, which is actually pretty good. At least their front seven.
Yeah, their front seven is awesome.
Front seven solid. But after that, I think they're able to escape and just impose their will on them and win. I think it's going to be 35-17.
Now, how much do you? Now we're both assuming that Johnson's out. If Johnson's in, do you change your prediction?
No, because I think if he plays, he doesn't last past a quarter.
Okay.
But I don't have the medical reports. I'm just going off what I've seen.
Right.
So don't take that too far.
No, I agree. Just like you saw Fournette last year. Fournette, his ankle was messed up the entire year.
Correct.
They threw him in there. He would have like 10 snaps or something, 10 touches of the ball.
Yeah.
And he was mediocre. He wasn't that great.
No. And I'm worried about that because you take a beating in the SEC, man. He does.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So you ready to close things out here?
Yeah. Anything else? I think we're good.
Well, talk about one other thing in stall for a second while I pull up our outro music.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, what was it you want me to talk about?
Well, what I want you to talk about is Miami-Clemson. What do you think about that game? We didn't talk about that one.
I mean, I think Clemson wins. I think Clemson only wins by a touchdown. And I wouldn't be surprised if Miami wins. Listen, I would love to see a Miami victory because it would just ruffle everything up, and I love chaos. But I just love Clemson too much. I want them to play in the Final Four. I love watching Kelly Bryant play. I love that team. And so we'll see what happens. Your boy asked us about Phil Fulmer. We did talk about it. I don't know if he chimed in late.
Oh, yeah?
But he put a message on Facebook Live. Did he? Yeah. We need you to come back on the pod, man. We'll do one more.
Oh, I'll Joe?
Wanna, yeah.
Shout out to Joe. What's
shout
up,
out
man?
To Joe. We need you to come back on with all of us.
Well, man. At least we know, and this is I'm notorious for every time that I'm in the captain seat here taking Law's place trying to DJ this, I screw something up. I'll mess up my audio, or I won't hit the Facebook Live or something. So hopefully this one turns out right. But all right, so we're gonna get out of here. I found the outro.
We're shutting it down. Watch the games. We'll talk about them next week.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that Final Four and what's gonna happen with that. And hopefully there'll be some new coaching changes.
There you go.
Those jobs will get filled, I should say. Later.
See you.